All right, guys, welcome back to episode 15. Yeah, episode 15. Fuck, it's gone very quick. Of Prime Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour, here with your host, Chris Story. So, a few things to touch base on, guys, before we get on with today's episode. We're going to start off with the traditional massive thank you to everyone that is supporting me on this journey of creating this podcast and getting it out there to as many people as I can. So, as usual, guys, please drop me a review on iTunes. iTunes is the granddaddy of reputations for podcasts. If you can drop me a review, it will be able to boost my visibility and really help me get this message out to as many people as I can. But if you can't do iTunes, then hey, drop me a review on YouTube. DM me on Instagram. Any bit of feedback means the world to me. And I truly do mean that. I will read every single message you guys send to me and I will respond in an honest, open-hearted manner. So yeah, please send me your thoughts and I will do what I can to really make this podcast the best in the world, which is one of my great visions for this brand and the podcast as a whole. So yeah. And yeah, that leads on to how I repay the thank you, which is to give you guys an exclusive 10% discount code for primalalchemy.co.uk. And the code is REDPILL. That's REDPILL. That, when added to the discount code section on checkout, you'll get an exclusive 10% off any purchases made. So, perfect opportunity, which ties in very nicely to today's episode, which we'll get to in just a minute, to grab yourself our flagship protein superfood powder, Vitruvian Protein, which some of you may know or may not know by now is the world's only organic approved keto and paleo accredited protein superfood powder on the market. Flavored with a shit ton of high vibrational superfoods, one of the most powerful of which being Criollo cacao. So the cacao bean is widely regarded as one of the most nutrient dense superfoods in the world, known throughout the Aztec and Mayan cultures as the food of the gods. And as I mentioned, I personally source the Criollo, that's the one, the Criollo bean variation of cacao, which is the highest grade cacao bean in the world, and it makes up about 5% of the world's cacao production, and it really does provide a real nice flavor for your palate. It's not overpowering, not over bitter like you'll find a lot of cacao powders can be when they're using some of the cheaper grade beans. But yeah, it's great. And I mean, I could throw out so many benefits of the cacao, let alone how it interacts with the other ingredients within the blend. But something that you guys may or may not be aware of is that, I mean, when people talk about getting that high from chocolate, it really is a legit physiological response. So chocolate itself is a great source of what's known as anandamide, which is a neurotransmitter, an endorphin that is commonly known as the bliss molecule. And yeah, it's really good for bringing on a state of like cerebral and physical euphoria. And yeah, it's if you check out primalchemy.co.uk, you can see a little bit more detail about the Criollo cacao that I source and how it interacts with all the other ingredients in the blend. But yeah, I'll leave you guys to that one. I'll let you make up your own decision if it's if you're on that sort of hype train or not. But yeah, moving on. So with today's actually actual episode, we have Mr. Dan Vanay on, aka Zen Life Dan, as he is known on social media. And it was a good episode, guys. Really enjoyed this one, as I say of every episode, because I do legitimately have a blast talking to these guys. Like, that's the reason why I get in touch with them, because it's people that really interest me and spark a desire to be able to communicate with them on a on any level that I can. And this podcast enables me to sit down and talk to these people where I would never normally get the chance. And Dan is a fascinating character indeed. Very similar to myself in that he seems to have pieced together the puzzle in a similar manner as myself, in that spirituality is or can be accessed through physical optimization. And it's normally a path that if you follow with an open heart and open mind and you go after physically optimizing yourself, that generally begins to, the path widens into more than just getting hench as fuck in the gym. It opens you up to the path of self-improvement, self-actualization, which is indeed a spiritual quest in its own right. And you can go down many rabbit holes, many tangents from just simply starting up the gym and picking up your first dumbbell, as was my story. It's very similar to Dan's. But yeah, so on today's episode, we catch up on Dan's recent trip to Peru, where he talks about his experience with ayahuasca, San Pedro, sweat lodge initiations. We talk about Dan's basically what the main thing that Dan's focusing on nowadays is what he calls the autophagy blend. And obviously autophagy itself is going to be the cellular cleansing that happens when you're in a deep fasted state. And Dan has come up with his own blend of different herbal ingredients to really facilitate that, to really facilitate the effect that autophagy has in the body. And I find that really interesting, so I delved into that with him and really sort of picked his brains on the ingredients he uses and why he does so, what's his reasoning behind this and that. And overall, it's a pretty esoteric chat, guys. There's a lot of things, a lot of little tips and tricks to pick up within this chat that if you're not familiar with, me and Dan lay it down. We lay it on the line for you guys. We talk about Shambhavi Mudra. We talk about these different yogic positions that can induce altered states of consciousness. And yeah, really do give you guys some solid starting points for your own sort of progression within your spiritual development. So, you know what? Fuck, it's been like 7 minutes 40, man. These fucking intros are getting long. I'm gonna have to cut these down somehow. Alright, let's get to it, guys. Let's stop wasting time. Let's kick it off. Episode 15, Morpheus. Tell these fools what's up, yo.
You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
As above, so below, what lies without resides within. Time for growth to begin. Mental, physical, and spiritual. We find balance with all three as we focus on totality. The whole, not the half. This is for those on a spiritual path. Looking for the clues to the answers of life. But the truth ain't always nice, so leave your ego at the door. Let your inner lion roar and your spirit soar as we go deep down to the molecular level. Tap into the body with some yogic breath. Throw in some calisthenics for a true strength test. Like the shamans of old, we use the nature to heal. With a little bit of DMT to reveal. This whole life journey is a little surreal. And your mind needs a leader, not a follower in life. Let your mind be the master and you pay a hefty price. This next 60 minutes is about self-mastery. It's not an easy path and it's a lifelong journey. But we up to empower with this red pill initiation hour. With this red pill initiation hour, brought to you by Prima Okami.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Three and a two and a one. All right, guys, we're live and welcome to episode 15 of Prima Alchemy's Red Pill Initiation Hour. So today, guys, we're going to go pretty deep down the rabbit hole. This the guest on today is cut from the same cloth as myself. We're all about the physical, the mental, the spiritual, the emotional. we're all about being full spectrum here. And I've been going back and forth with him a little bit over Instagram. And yeah, just really wanted to get him on and pick his brains to see how things are in his life and his own journey. So let's welcome on Dan Van Ney, aka Zen Life Dan. Buddy, what's going on, man? Thank you for coming on, Dan.
Chris, it's awesome to be here, my friend. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, dude. And it's like I was saying, before this, we've been going back and forth a little bit, trading ideas, and might as well just go straight into it, buddy. How did you become Zen Life Dan? It's always interesting with myself just to learn about others' path to how they've become who they are, because I know you're very similar in the way you think for me. And obviously I've been through my own journey to get to where I am with my own views, my own philosophy, my own sort of spiritual beliefs. And yeah, I always find it intriguing just to know how others have come to the same sort of perspective in life.
It's a funny question you ask about how did I become Zen Life Dan, because I pretty much birthed it out of, you know, just everything that was happening in my life and my, I guess, previous identity of being in the system and playing by the rules and just feeling so like it wasn't right, feeling so like limited, and kind of gaining this sort of occult knowledge and about the body, about the spirit, about the mind. And like as that grew, it just didn't fit into the current constructs of, you know, what I was able to do with like a normal job. And so like a change was necessary, like it just had to happen. So I vividly remember being on a hike in, where were we? I think Northern Arizona, which actually gets snow in the wintertime. And, I was on a winter hike with my cousin and I just thought to him, you know, I want to change my Instagram to something about conscious fitness lifestyle. And I thought, okay, conscious fitness, how can we reduce that down? Because that's too long. So we could just call it conscious Zen, and then we can do life, so Zen life, and then Dan. And then boom, that's how it sort of emerged. And then I feel like that kind of gave me permission then to start really sharing the stuff that I was truly interested in.
Yeah, it's something that I've done very similar with my own brand here at Primal Alchemy. It's finding a way to really package such a diverse spectrum of like knowledge and interests, but really connecting the dots between everything and sort of presenting it in a way that people can really sort of attune to. And one of the things that you do, man, that it's just, I don't see anyone else doing it. And it's literally, let's just go straight for this, because I know that we're a little bit limited for time compared to what I would normally want to go for. So let's just get down into it. And yeah, I see, man, doing the Shambhavi Mudra, and I fucking love it, man. There's no one else is out there doing that, and it's such a powerful technique for just overall just expanding and increasing your own awareness and conscious ability. How did you come across this technique, and like, yeah, what's the effects that you've seen from it so far?
I'm actually doing it right now. So if you guys don't know about the Shambhavi Mudra, take a look at Chris's logo, because where he's staring up at his pineal gland, that's the Shambhavi Mudra. And if you find somebody doing this properly, their eyes can be open and you only see the white part of their eyes because they're staring up. Well, what does this mean? How is this practical and useful? So meditation, really, if you like want to talk about how to physically meditate using the eyes, because everything is eyes. If you guys have done psychedelics, you'll see eyes. You'll be fascinated by eyes. We talk about eyes as being the window to the soul. You are staring up at your one eye, your true eye, your first eye, your third eye. And when you do that, you instantly enter this extremely meditative state. And when I first started doing this, I found out about it through Master of Earth on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know him, right?
Yeah, I love Master of Earth. We were talking about him before, weren't we? He's an interesting chap.
Yeah, and he just disappeared, but that's another story. We'll come back to that later. He basically describes the Shambhavi Mudra as something that you can do any time of day to enter a meditative state, snap of a finger, like that. And my ex-girlfriend, whenever I used to kiss her, her eyes would go back into the top of her head, and I would get weirded out by it because I wasn't fully spiritual then. I didn't know what the hell she was doing. It kind of creeped me out a little bit. And now, in retrospect, I know exactly what she was doing, and come full circle, I do it all the time now. And it's really nice to be able to do. You can do it while you're doing yoga. You can do it while you're squatting. I find that doing a squatting pose while doing the Shambhavi Mudra and having opposite hands on your earlobes pulling down, kind of like in Indian culture, how they used to put like heavy things in their earlobes and their earlobes would sag down. You're like opening up that third eye and that inner sense of eye so much. And if you do these practices enough, long enough, in just one session, you'll open your eyes or kind of start to wiggle your fingers, come back to life and be like, what is this physical world? You'll forget it even exists.
Yeah, I've had some interesting experiences, man, doing something very similar, like you were saying, when you're in like that deep squat position and then you've got the arms crossed, holding onto the opposite ear, pulling down on the earlobe. The earlobe's then going to be, if you're looking at reflexology points, when you're pulling it down, you are stimulating the pineal gland. And it's in combination of that with doing the Shambhavi Mudra, maybe even like pushing your tongue up to the root of your mouth, you can get deep, like very, very quickly, like you said, almost instantaneously. And it's, that is the true form of meditation that's been hidden from us. Like as with everything, when you get the exoteric and the esoteric of anything that you're looking at, the way that people are taught to meditate in today's society is the exoteric. It's the exoteric way. It shows you like the real watered down version. But the real initiates of the ancient mystery religions, they would have been taught to do the Shambhavi Mudra. And I mean, that's the name coming from it, like in Vedic or Sanskrit. But it would, I'm sure there's plenty of names from many other cultures around the world that this would have been a vital technique for them to learn. And because it really does put you into another dimension. And it's funny that you said that your ex-girlfriend done that, man. She must have been like woke as fuck doing that back in the day before she wasn't even watching Master of Earth, man. She's just doing it naturally. So yeah, that's a good one, man. Master of Earth used to come up with some real good shit. He used to really sort of really open my eyes to a lot of stuff. Like he does the cool thing where he does the with the tree hugging as like a real good natural exercise in order to ground yourself against a tree. Just literally jump up, boom, latch onto it. And that's a hard, have you tried that, Dan? It's fucking hard to do that. He made it look easy.
I haven't tried that one per se, but just doing exercises on trees, like while I'm traveling or just doing pull-ups or ab exercises on trees, I always try to use the props as much as possible. And it just kind of reminds me that the type of exercises that I grew up doing in the bodybuilding world, it's simply for aesthetics. And it, as Master of Earth would say, it makes your body dumb.
Yeah.
Because you're strong in all the ways that are not functional at all.
Totally. And that's something that I incorporate into my own training. It's, I take different aspects of different modalities, so you get the strength of each without having to succumb to the weaknesses and sort of adverse effects of just aligning yourself to one practice. But if you kind of do a broad spectrum of these and do so, yeah, and then like do your powerlifting, do a little bit of powerlifting with the compound lifts, and then maybe go in and do some HIIT training, but then do more functional stuff. Do your kettlebells, do your Bulgarian bag, your maces, your clubs, your movement training, animal flow, the yoga, do the functional range movement stuff. It's important to really hit it from every angle. But you'll find that once you start delving a little bit deeper than just doing bicep curls in the mirror, you start to connect with your body's innate intelligence. And that's what I think Master of Earth was getting at, is that just by doing basic movements on just one plane of motion, one plane of movement, you're limiting yourself to, it's so basic that you're not giving yourself your brain any challenge either. But when you're doing these more complex movements, it's like a mental workout as well as it is a physical workout, and you really begin to connect with the body, you begin to connect with your body's ability to move through space and time. I've really did learn a lot from that guy, man.
Yeah, man. And one thing I noticed on plant medicine is that I was challenging my mind to become a lot more flexible. So I just got back from 30 days in Peru where I did 4 San Pedro ceremonies.
Oh man, nice. Tell me about this, dude. I was following your journey in Peru, and I was like, shit, Dan's over there for a long time, and he must be going deep on this one. So yeah, brother, if you don't mind, just fire away and tell me this experience, because it looked fucking magical.
Yeah, so I was blessed to be able to have the opportunity, first off, to go down there with my friend and business partner, Dwayne. He's been down there, I think, 4 previous times, so he just wanted to show gratitude and give me the experience. So I went down there, and we spent time with the shamans that he knows and trusts. And man, this stuff, for those, so a lot of people are familiar with ayahuasca, and I've done ayahuasca, and it's fantastic. And I did an IGTV comparing the two. The simplest way I can define the difference between the two is ayahuasca brings in spirits and shows you like the cosmos, and the San Pedro doesn't bring in as much spirits, but it shows you this earthly realm. So like, as I'm looking around at the flowers, the sun, the air, the earth, it's more than just the air and the earth and the flowers. Like, you are into the world. You are tapped into the intelligence of the plant. Like, you can feel its consciousness from the roots to the stem. You almost understand like the intelligence behind it and what's happening and how, I guess, how it's expressing itself. And then you start to realize everything that's living is just an expression of the same I that I call myself. And I was just having so many like realizations of micro to the macro, because that's just the way my brain works. I'm like big picture, but sometimes I'll get lost in a wormhole and go super micro. So I was thinking like down to the atoms, that like the smallest possible thing, and just going up and building larger and larger things until you get to like the full cosmic egg that we're in. And it was just like, what the fuck? So the whole time that narrative is running, I was basically just trying to like move my body and increase my flexibility. And I found that the mental side of things like was really helping me break through the physical barriers where I previously just was not flexible, like, or I could only touch my toes. Now I could put my whole palm of my hand and on the bottom of my foot and touch my heel, and just getting insane flexibility. I can do handstands a lot more. So it was really putting me in touch with the earthly realm. It was really an amazing experience.
And how many did you do with the San Pedro?
4 full ceremonies. Oh, the other difference I should mention is San Pedro is done during the day. So you'll drink the cactus juice at about 9 a.m. in the morning, and it'll last you till about 6 or 7 at night.
Wow, that's quite the adventure. So you did 4 San Pedro ceremonies. Did you do anything else? I know that they do to this retreat, but I was really interested in it at one point in time, and they did a sweat lodge ceremony where they do the ayahuasca and the San Pedro combined. And I was like, man, that must be quite the experience.
Yeah, that's I've done a sweat lodge before, but without any plant medicine. And I actually asked somebody who was on it's called a dieta. He finished his dieta, which is like a full month of silence, just doing the medicine. So he could finally talk. So I was getting a lot of information from him. And I said, hey, well, any shamans combine the San Pedro and the ayahuasca? That would be pretty interesting. And he said, only bad shamans do that because it's disrespectful to the plants. Yeah. But, you know, me just being who I am, I would respect spirits and the plants enough to just be curious enough to do it and try it myself. I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded interesting to me. It's just like you said, by taking like the ayahuasca is like kind of shows you spirit and takes you into the cosmos, and then the San Pedro is a lot more earth based. It would be interesting how they work sort of synergistically. And supposedly, from what I've read, there's been some interesting reports on people's experiences with it, and it's I just find it fascinating. And what else did you get up to when you're out there, man? Did you go out to like all the ancient sites? Did you get out to was it whatever sort of shit were you up to?
So I did Machu Picchu. That was quite an experience, and don't get me wrong, it was really, really beautiful, just breathtaking. But I will tell you that on a journey to Peru, just be mindful, guys, that Machu Picchu gets about 10,000 people a day. So it is just like swamped with tourism. Yeah. So I'm lucky to have gotten that experience, but it's nice to be able to contrast it with finding just rural countryside Peru sites that nobody knows about, that I'm actually going to take people to those sites when we go in September. I'm bringing 8 to 12 people on a Peru experience in September. So if you guys are interested on coming to Peru with me and just doing the best of the best for 7 days, just shoot me a DM and I can link you to all that info. So I'm trying to get a really solid group together for Peru in September, just to show the true rural countryside, like the stuff that's going to stick with you, not 10,000 tourists. I mean, nobody really wants that.
Yeah, it's true, man. It gives you a much more better image of what the country's really about. And like, there is, although the sacred sites are important, there's a lot of stuff that's still undiscovered, still unknown. And you never know if you're walking in, you might walk into the middle of nowhere and it might be just some energy vortex and you might just have some crazy experience just by somewhere that you would have been none the wiser because you were so focused on the where all the attention goes, which is going to be the likes of Machu Picchu and some of those other sites. But so it's, yeah, fascinating, man. And
the other thing I want to say about traveling is, like, I thought before I started this journey of spirituality, Zen Life Dan and all that, I wanted to travel the world, and I thought that would be like ultimate fulfillment. And as I travel and like start to live out the life I wanted to always live that I thought would give me fulfillment, remember, guys, you don't need to go anywhere to be fully happy. Like, I just want to throw that out there, because I'm going to continue to travel and all that, but it was really, really nice just to come back and like just to have a home base again, and just not to just always be floating. So I
to be grounded.
Yeah,
I've got a very, very similar sort of outlook and experience, man. Like, before I started the Primal Alchemy brand, I was I used to work as a personal trainer on a cruise ship, and went obviously from there, was able to do a lot of traveling. Went to a lot of, like, covered a wide percentage of the world, really. And yeah, it is fun and it's dope, and you learn a lot, and experiences are key in life to really to really sort of experiment with in order to make that base metal transmute into gold. It's, you need the experiences, but at the same time, there is something nice about just being home, grounding. And I mean, going deep again, man. Like, if you really want to go traveling, the external world isn't the place that you need to be looking. You need to be looking on the inside. And that's when doing shit like your Shambhavi Mudra and all those other sort of funky positions that Master of Earth shows when he's doing the crab, the inverted crab with his head like planted on the floor. Like, those can take you into... They can make you travel further than you could ever travel on an aeroplane. So it's, yeah, good, man. One of the things I wanted to cover with you, Dan, as well, mate, it's, I know you're a big advocate of fasting and you got your autophagy blends. I wouldn't mind covering that, man.
Sure, man. Yeah, that's honestly kind of what really sparked it all for me in terms of like the inner journey and just where I've come as a person in and of myself. I don't owe it to anything external. I don't owe it to anything that I read in a book. I don't owe it to anything except, I guess, the knowledge that first inspired me to start fasting. This was at a time where I was still, I just removed, I think, red meat only from my diet. So I wasn't even plant-based. I was just kind of transitioning from the world of being a personal trainer and following like macros and really not caring about how I fit my macros in for the day. I could eat shit and still look good. Right. And so I fasted. I think my first fast was a 3-day fast, and it just shattered beliefs that I had first off about the protein requirements that we needed. It shattered beliefs that I had that like I would die if I didn't eat for a day. Yeah. You know, what it really did was put me in touch with my first brain, you know, the gut, because I was continuing to shit like multiple times a day at like every day that I continued to fast. And I got leaner and lost more body fat in places that I thought were problem areas that I would never lose in a matter of 3 days than I ever had, like cutting down my calories slowly, doing all that bullshit. And it showed me that like the mucus and the toxins will like stay in those problem areas, making them problem areas until you give your body an opportunity to pull fuel from that, to burn it, and to like push it through your body to release it.
And yeah, I know what you're saying, man. I totally resonate with that, going from one extreme to the other. And you really did jump in, to be fair, going straight into a 3-day fast like that. It's that's one that most would be like almost like a nightmare situation for most guys that are really into their gym, really into that, if it fits your macros sort of template. And if you tell them like not to eat for 3 days, they're like, their fucking head will explode and they just wouldn't believe it's possible to they think that they're going to lose all the gains and all the important shit that they've been working out for 2 hours in the mirror for. And it's, yeah, I really do feel the benefits of a properly thought out fast. And it's, and then, so the things that you then I know you, that's what you started off with, right? And then you started to transition more into, more sort of prolonged or intermittent fasting.
Yeah, that's right. So I basically transitioned into, I was doing a lot of different things. So I tried one meal a day for a long time, and that got me the most lean I've ever been. And that was when I transitioned to plant-based, and I was also doing like a 2 or 3 day fast, like every month.
Yeah.
And it, with the strength training, it just completely transformed the physique. So like I can mark that checkbox, like, so, you know, I still like look good. But then internally, everything's being taken care of from that autophagy, because autophagy starts at about hour 16, where your body starts, like the hunger will creep in. So here's the important thing for anybody trying to do autophagy or anybody trying to fast for the first time: really study up on the benefits and like read about what's happening and correlate that with the hunger. Because then when the hunger creeps in, it's not like, oh shit, I'm hungry, I can't take this anymore, let me go eat, hopefully the fast did something. No, it's like when the hunger creeps in, remember that all those benefits are actually starting to happen now. So you trick yourself into wanting the hunger.
Yeah, I love that, man. And what sort of what do you feel like are the main sort of the main obstacles in people's way when they start a fast? Like for me, it's to be honest with you, I didn't really find it that hard when I first did it. I thought it was okay, but I've talked to a lot of people who really do struggle. They go through that psychological sort of blockage of thinking they're going to die because they're not eating. They're like, to them, it's like it's so against their sort of reality that they've kind of built up in their own head that it's almost like an impossibility for them to do so. But once they break that, they shatter that illusion, it really does kind of open them up to a lot of possibilities. And that kind of leads into like the snowball effect where they begin to sort of really kind of delve deep into what's possible. Because one of the main things that people think, like one of the main sort of dogmatic ideological beliefs that we have as humans, is that if we don't eat within X amount of days, you're going to die. And it's not really the case. It's, if anything, it's complete opposite. We thrive. And yeah, just the what do you think people struggle with most when going in to contemplate doing a prolonged fast of say 72 hours or maybe more? Like what do you think stops people from doing that?
Trying to maintain their current lifestyle. Because a lot of people's lifestyle right now, our culture is so founded upon food.
Mm.
Like being social, still like maybe working a job if that's what you do. All of it becomes so difficult. Responsibilities, maybe you have kids. You start to realize that anytime you're stressed physically, emotionally, it's so common to reach for food so that you can feel comfort of something. And a really, really cool analogy that I got from Taylor Budd, who's actually going to be at the Zen Life Retreat in February teaching breathwork. In his book, The I Manual, he talks about how people eat so that they feel real. Because when you eat something, it's food itself is pushing up against you. So whenever you are against something, it makes you real. So like if you lean up against the wall, people do that when they're nervous. People touch a table. You know, people, they want to feel like they're in control and that they're real. So when you eat, you are reminding yourself that you're real in a way that's just been so conditioned. And that's like the addiction, just like some people are addicted to cigarettes and or any addiction. But it's also doing that at the most primal level, like close to your spine, close to your nervous system, reminding you that you're real. So that when you don't have that anymore, it really forces you to master your urges and to like be okay with realizing that you're already all one. Taylor Budd does a really good job of breaking down the word alone is very similar to all one. It's just with one less L. So when you are okay with being alone in solitude, no food, you don't need anything, you realize that you are all one, that there's no separation. So to bring it back and answer your question, the hardest part is trying to fit it into their current lifestyle. What I would tell people to do is schedule it in your life like a vacation, like 2 days where you're not going to do anything. You're going to have no commitments. You can just hang out, not work out, maybe go to the sauna, just make it a spa day or 2 days in a row.
Yeah, it's just kind of touching on what you were saying about what Taylor said about the alone and all one. It's one of the things that I've been thinking of lately, and it's really, really sort of hitting home for me about really kind of where the, I'll link this back in, but where the origin of animal sacrifice came from. And I feel like animal sacrifice back in ancient times was something that maybe we misinterpret, or almost the ancients misinterpreted it from an even more ancient teaching than themselves. But the in order to, so they would sacrifice an animal in order to please the gods above. But I feel like the original idea behind that is that if you sacrifice the animal self, which is our animal self, is what attaches us to food and need to eat, our need for sex and relationship, a lot of our carnal animalistic impulses, if we sacrifice that within the altar of our heart, that is where you make the sacrifice for the higher self or the God self to respond. And it's very relating that back to what you were saying about people feeling the need, like people feel scared to be alone or the all one. And I feel it's just because we're kept and conditioned in our animalistic self, our lower vibrational self. And it's easy to control people when they're operating out of that operating system. And something like fasting, it's almost like pressing control, alt, and delete, and then clicking reboot. And it just allows you to, really reset and sort of iron out a lot of these conditioned ideas within you that aren't really yours to begin with, but are really something that are really just programs that your subconscious has been tuned into throughout a life of, living the life that's expected from you and not living the life that you actually want and what you're destined for.
And absolutely, man. And when you really sit there in silence enough to let the muddy water settle, so to speak, you can see so clearly on how the way our culture and society is set up, just to keep people, really the system is all based on the food and the addiction to the food. Because if people didn't need the food, they wouldn't have to work the jobs to slave away to buy the food that makes them sick, which makes them customers of the medical industry, and there wouldn't need to be all the insurance bullshit. And it's just like, I have so much compassion for people because they don't know. So now as we enter into 5D and a certain group of us in the spiritual community are gaining all this awareness, I'm really less about like trying to scare people off with like the 5G, the Gwen Towers, and all the shit that may or may not be true. It's more about just like meeting people where they're at on like a massive scale to try to just bring some awareness in. And like, let's not scare people away with the psychedelics and the plant medicine. Let's like, what can we practically do? Breath work, fasting, the benefits. How can we make fasting easier? That's how the autophagy blend was born.
Can you go into a little bit of detail on that, man? I mean, we've only got like 7 minutes before we kind of said beforehand that you needed to shoot off. So if you can give us a rundown on that, man, I mean, that would be great if you could.
Yeah, we can shoot a little longer if we need to. I'm not in that big of a hurry. But yeah, basically, the autophagy blend was born just because, like I said, when I found fasting, I wasn't fully woke. I wasn't fully plant-based, but it changed my life so drastically in those 3 days that I fasted that like the fast was meant to be a body thing. Like it was meant to get the physical benefits, but what those physical benefits led to, I had no choice. I didn't know that this was going to be a thing. It completely opened me up to the spiritual realm, which I grew up Christian. I grew up Catholic. Like I used to pray to God, and I had never had anything like this just from fasting alone. And so my whole thing is that spirituality for most people can begin with the body. Like if we can start there, we can really awaken people on a massive scale. So if a lot of people are afraid to fast, how can we make it easier? So I started to research autophagy, and a lot of people in the community were talking about it. And I just found all the organic herbs that were independently shown to promote this process. And unfortunately, they all taste like shit.
So, yeah.
By some miracle of divinity, I was able to make them taste okay in a blend. And I just put them together and I started giving them to my training clients who I was trying to get to do a fast to make it easier for them. And so it's cool because you're going to not be as hungry. You can drink it as much as you want on the fast, and it's actually going to increase the benefits as if, you know, rather than just doing like water alone, because, you know, the studies show that these substances increase autophagy. So I just thought, let's combine them all together and see what it does. Boom.
What sort of herbal ingredients have you got in your autophagy blend?
So there's 15 ingredients. I don't have them all memorized offhand, but we have Irish sea moss, bladderwack, turmeric, ginger, cinnamon, nopal cactus, chaparral leaf. So a lot of these that most people haven't heard of, but doctors like Dr. Sebi, Dr. Morse, they're always talking about it. So people in those communities are pretty familiar with it, but the masses just have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's kind of how that was all born there. And now I'm working on an autophagy blend that actually dissolves fully, because even though the powders of the herbs are powdered, they don't fully dissolve. So it's more of like a suspension, like a little bit settles at the bottom. So it gets a little sticky, like once you get to the bottom of your cup.
Yeah. And so, what sort of ingredients have you got on this? Because I've seen it. It's a, like a non-herbal one, right? What sort of, what have you got in that?
So far the non-herbal is L-carnitine, which we know from the bodybuilding world that helps with fat loss.
Yeah.
L-carnitine, resveratrol, which is in grapes and wine.
Do you know what form of resveratrol it is? Is it trans resveratrol?
I actually have not looked at trans resveratrol. No.
When it comes to resveratrol, I think trans resveratrol is the one that you want to go for, and I'm guessing that's what's giving it that sort of like pink, like pinkishy purple color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that and the beetroot powder.
Ah. Okay. Yeah.
Beetroot powder is a big nitric oxide booster.
Mm, yeah.
Natural. And then the awesome part there that I love is the stevia, the sweetened.
Yeah, man, you do need the stevia, to be fair. And even in the, do you put the stevia in the herbal one as well?
I do.
And is it like an organic like ground stevia?
Yeah, in the herbal one it's the organic ground, which is it's still green.
Yeah. It's weird, man. I think it's a little bit different in the United States. In fact, I'm pretty sure it is, that you guys can have organic products with stevia in, right?
Yeah, we can. As long as the stevia is, I guess it just depends on the certification you're going for, if it's USDA organic or whatever organic certification. But yeah, the green stevia is organic.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, of like raw stevia like that. But here in the UK, there's some like bullshit legislation that it's classed as a novel food, so it can't be passed through any organic certification. So all of our organic products, they, two ways of looking at this, they A, taste shit, excluding my Vitruvian protein, which I make, sales plug, because you can't get the stevia in. And if you can't get the stevia in, the only other option, there's very limited options in what you can use as a natural organic organic sweetener. And it's been something that's annoyed me for so long, because I obviously developed my own products, that I don't know why you can't have the stevia, like proper organic raw stevia, like the green leaf. And it's yeah, just something that you brought up then, man. And so I'm always like, fuck, man, why did they not let that in? Because it would, there would be like a massive, it would open the doors to a lot of good products here in the UK. But I guess you haven't got that issue in the States because, well, yeah, you're, it doesn't seem to be an issue over there. With the non-herbal autophagy elixir, how long have you been taking that one for?
This one is brand new. So yeah. I just got back from Peru about a week ago, and I just started mixing up some non-herbal autophagy inducing things that I've seen for a while. And so it's really just about formulating the best formula that's going to be best for a large range of people, because this, like I said, I want to reach the masses with fasting,
mm-hmm.
because we can get them there. We can't get them on some things like the natural psychedelics and some of the things that they just have to slowly ease their way into and discover on their own to go on this path, but we can get them with the body first. So it's just about finding the ingredients that dissolve the best, that taste the best, that make money from a business standpoint, but still most affordable for people out there just looking to get into it. And if it's something that's really going to help them just get started or be like that moral support, or hell, even sometimes just believing in it enough gives you the placebo effect. We all know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man. That's true.
Yep.
What's the future looking like for you, man? What's like your grand vision? Are you looking to expand yourself as a brand? Are you looking to maybe find business with doing stuff with your autophagy blend? Like, what's the future for Zen Life Dan?
So the future for me is going to be with the company that I'm starting to umbrella all these products under. Is called Ascend, and I actually snuck a Z in there. And if you look closely, we have the word Zen sandwiched in Ascend.
Smart.
So, yeah, man. So I basically want to help people with their ascension process, which is the spiritual, but you know, meet them where they're at. Start with the body, which you and I as trainers kind of know more like the back of our hand anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, start with a products company. But I'm still going to be doing these retreats and bringing a group of people together who are passionate about the retreats, who can maybe serve as a manager or a social media person. And just like what I can do is I can bring people together. So I don't have to be the front man. I don't have to do everything. That's the cool thing. All I have to do is keep doing my thing, keep spreading the conscious awareness about things like autophagy, you know, the places we're going to go on the retreats, ways to increase your vibration, meditation, and all that. So that stuff's going to be more targeted toward the YouTube channel, which is going to be Zen Life TV. And just really bringing a community together. That's really what the future holds for me.
Nice, man. I love that you've come to... Well, you've come from a very similar position in myself, is where you come to these realizations, you're open up to that spiritual realm, you're open up to the connection of mind, body, and spirit, and then you're like, wow, how do I get this across to people? And that's why I made like Primal Alchemy. It's a health and fitness brand, really, at its core. Like I do, it's a fitness. It's a lot to do with fitness as well, because it's like if you get into fitness and you have an open mind, then you're naturally going to want to improve your performance, improve yourself, which then really does take you down the rabbit hole of getting into these ideas, because you're like, okay, I want to be my physical best, and you're like, well, what affects the physical? And then you're going to do your research and you'll find that okay, the mind has a lot to do with affecting the physical performance. And then you go down the rabbit hole with that. And then you're like, okay, well, I've learned quite a lot. And then I'm sure there's more to this. And then you get into the spiritual. And then once you've done the spiritual, you're like, oh shit, man. It's like, it's all connected in the first place. Everything is affects everything. And then you start to see the full picture. And then when you start to embody the full picture, that's where the magic happens. And that's where you really begin to go through that process of self-actualization. And that's what I personally believe all of our destinies is, be it in this lifetime or be it in the next. But every soul's purpose here is to go through that process of self-actualization. And like you said, man, ascend with a Z.
Absolutely. And while you're on that topic, I have a question for you. I've thought about this myself. So if we're all souls that have incarnated, we've chosen to incarnate into this body, and we've maybe had many, many lives before this and could have many lives after this. There's a lot of people in the world right now. I'm not sure the exact number, 7-8 billion, something like that. So they say. How do we know? Is there an infinite amount of souls, or is there like a finite number of souls?
It's a tough one, man. You don't know, because then, okay, we've got 7 billion life form. Well, we've got 7 billion human souls here on Earth. We have X amount of animal souls. Then we have plant souls. Then we have the inorganic souls, like the minerals themselves have souls. Our cells have souls. And then we have the greater level of Gaia herself being a governing soul. And then what? We then go out into the galaxy, out into the universe, and there are other life forms. There's other species out there, and that again is a soul. There's trillions of souls, and there's probably infinite amount of souls that is just recycled through this spiritual matrix that we find ourselves in, be if we're living here on Earth or if we're out living in Sirius A or B as a fucking gray. I can't give you a definite answer to that, man. I'm not woke enough to know the correct one on that, but that's all I could imagine, is that if the universe is infinite, then it means that there's infinite souls out there, maybe just we're still limited in what we understand about the soul and what we classify as what can have a soul.
There's either infinite, like you're talking about, and I'm with you going down that train of thought, or there's one and we're all just sort of fractions of this.
Yeah, that's a good one as well. Yeah, like we're all fragments of it. It's like Idris Web. Have you heard of that before?
No.
Oh, man. I was hoping you kind of heard of it, because I don't fucking know it enough to explain it. It's basically, it's to do with Idra, which is like a Vedic god. And it was the belief that... I'm not gonna be able to explain this good. Guys, if you're still listening, search up Idris Web, because it's very relevant to what me and Dan are talking about. But I don't know it enough to be able to explain it and make it sound good. And if I butcher it, it's gonna sound shit and you're not gonna be interested in it. But it's actually Dan, check it out, man, when we're done with this, and I promise it actually does correlate very well to what we were saying then about all being connected to one source, or being mirrors of each other, or mirrors of that one source. And
right, we throw that word around so often of source, and like when I fast and clean the vessel, and I find that when other people fast and clean the vessel, they're better conduits of source. And me and Dwayne, my business partner, have this like funny inside joke. He gets downloads all the time from source. So when he gets a download, it's like he puts his hands up, puts his one hand up to the sun and just like shakes a little bit, and like it's vibrated with lightning. Like he just got a sense, you know? And yeah. And like the food and stuff just kind of plugs us up and congests us and lets us be like less, I think you know where I'm trying to go with this, but like less, able to receive these source codes, which going along with what we're saying might be our true nature is just the one soul that is source and it is light. And we unfortunately have just been conditioned to like dim the light.
Yeah, man. It's It's true. The light, it really is. The light will set you free. Like, I've got this big thing that we are living in this spiritual matrix, this spiritual reality game. And we know the precession of the equinox. We know that we go through this cycle of 25,920 years. And at certain points within that cycle, we are closer, or our Earth is directed closer to the galactic center, where we begin to receive more light, more photons. What's that? It's source code. And that's what I really feel like we have entered. We're entering a new age. The age of Aquarius is the part where we begin our ascent. We've just come out of the Great Winter, the dark ages of where we were, where we kind of fell into the material realm from the Great Fall of Man 12,000 years ago to where we are now. And we're going to begin our ascent. And it's, where is that? Like, where are we going to harness this spiritual power from? Well, it's from the sun. It's from light. That's what it is. Photons. We know through quantum health, quantum biology, that photons are really the key player when it comes to optimizing your mitochondria, which is obviously what we need to do. Because on the site, if we can optimize the cell being a hologram of the body as a whole, mm-hmm. we're not trying to target any specific part of the body. We're just going straight down to the core, to the mitochondria of the cell, what powers the whole body. And then if you're taking care of the microcosm, you're going to go through that whole process that you talked about earlier, where you build up until you're up into the macrocosm, up into the cosmic egg, where you connect back to the one source, which is, that's the spiritual game, man. That's the story of self-actualization, is to reach that point where you connect back into the, where you literally take off the virtual reality headset in God mode, and like, wow, shit, that was a good lesson this life. And you learned it, man. You completed the game. You completed it on God mode. You remembered that you were the God all along, but you fell into a state of amnesia during your time on Earth, that you forgot your godly origin. And it takes these sort of practices in order to really initiate these, in order to initiate this spark. And once, I feel like this is the same with everyone. I feel like once they have experienced the spark, that's all they need. All they need is something, or internal proof that there is something more than they've been led to believe. And I feel like it's a natural human trait that once you've experienced that spark, you're going to go after it, and then you're going to dedicate your life to it. And I feel that's what you're doing, dude. That's what I'm doing. And that's what a lot of people are beginning to wake up and do. They're not just accepting the status quo bullshit that's fed to us and expected from us, just to commit our life to a stupid materialistic pursuit of making rich people money while you sell your soul in the process. Very clever game that we're in, and our souls have decided to enter this game at a very interesting time. And it's quite a hard level at the moment. We've entered it in a point where it is like choosing the hardest difficulty, where you come into this Earth with no fucking idea about who you are, why you're here. And then if you begin to question that, you're going to get slapped on the wrist very quickly and told to get your shit together and go and get a job.
Sure. Exactly. And I've been told that many times, and I've been under that train of thought many times. And I had a dark night of the soul in June where I was just faced with that, like, head on. And everything told me no, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And like, just trusting into my heart just really did it for me. But yeah, like, going back to what you said, like that spark, I saw this thing on Instagram from Bentino Massaro, who's a pretty cool spiritual guy I follow on here. And he says, a true transformation actually has no process at all. Mm. It's like immediate shift.
Ooh. I would hope that was the case, man. I'd love that, just to be 1 minute like this, and all of a sudden it's like click, and then you're just fucking in the 5D, in talking with the talking with the gods of Asgard and Mount Olympus.
Well, like, here's the thing. Like, I feel like we're already doing that. Like, me talking to you right now. because we on this path, like, I want to ascend, I want to get to 5D and 10D and all that, but it's like I was faced with the question on plant medicine so much, it just kept repeating this question, and then what?
Yeah, that's a good one, man. And then what? Like, chasing the dragon.
Are we just going to get there one day and just be sitting on our spiritual king and queen throne, like, with each other, and like for one nanosecond, like, we're going to feel that feeling of whatever it feels like to like be woke?
I don't know, man. You may be, or you might just be like Zeus and Odin and just be right fox and just go around just terrorizing people because you're a god. That seems to be that seems to be the common theme within a myth, is that the gods are actually pricks. And I don't know. We seem to look up to them, but instead of looking at to the god within ourselves, maybe that was another clever program, sort of an ancient program that's deep within our collective psyche. But dude, like, I would love to sit and chat with you longer, but we've already gone over the time which I was hoping to have with you, man. So if we can kind of like tie this one up, the way that I always do this, dude, is that I ask the guest if you could give the listeners one thing in life, be it physical, mental, or spiritual, that you believe would take them to the next level, or just something that they could integrate now and see the best bang for their buck in terms of effort to reward ratio, what would you suggest for them?
My suggestion would be that in any moment of your life, be it this moment when you hear me tell you, or when you reach the pinnacle of success, the greatest thing you can ever do for yourself is take a deep breath, take a deep inhale and exhale. That is the ultimate thing you can always do to bring yourself back to clarity. And it's the true bringing in the spirit to the physical form, because the breath is the spirit. So just... And I'm to a point now where, like, people want to hang out. I just want to get together and breathe.
And they're like, Dan, come on, man. I just want to watch the fucking football. And you're over there doing your fucking Shambhavi Mudra. You just chill the fuck out, man. Yeah. Trust him. Yeah, I know, man. I know what it's like. You want it. I'm the exact same, dude.
Yep.
All right, man. Let's tie that one up. Thanks. I mean, thanks again for coming on, man. I really did, really was hoping on just having you on. And it was great when you actually replied and said that you wanted to come on. So yeah, thanks again. And hopefully everyone's enjoyed our little chat. I would have loved it to have been a little longer, but Dan's a busy man and the spirit world is calling. So Dan, before you pop off, where can guys find you if they want a little bit more from Zen Life Dan?
Okay, awesome. So you guys can find me on Instagram, Zen Life Dan, or on YouTube, Zen Life TV.
Oh, Sam. All right, then. Simple as that, guys. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Let's call this one a night. So episode 15 of Primal Alchemy, Red Pill Initiation Hour, rolling out. Stay woke as fuck, guys.